This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. With spring in full bloom, it's a busy time of year at the U.S. Supreme Court. As we record this podcast, the nation is still anxiously awaiting a pair of rulings on gay marriage that could break new ground nationally. Whatever the outcome, there are sure to be indirect implications for employers. But it was a pure employment law case that brought the court's 2012-2013 argument schedule to a close. And while this case did not draw nationwide headlines, as did the Defense of Marriage Act dispute, the potential impact on employers and HR is likely to be large. That's why this podcast features Expert HR's on-site coverage from Washington of Texas Southwestern Medical Center versus Nassar. At issue in the case is whether an employee can sue his former employer for retaliation under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, by showing illegal bias was a motivating factor for the employer's adverse employment action, or whether he must prove a higher standard, namely that the employer would not have acted but for the improper motive. Dr. Nail Nassar claims his former employer forced him to quit his job at an AIDS clinic in retaliation for his discrimination complaint and later caused a prospective employer to withdraw a job offer. The former employer counters that Nassar can win only by showing that retaliation was the sole reason he lost out on the job, something it says he failed to do. Nassar, who is Muslim, claimed one of his supervisors at Texas Southwestern Medical Center, or UTSW, made a derogatory comment in his presence that Middle Easterners are lazy, and that the same supervisor tried to delay Nassar's promotion on account of his national origin. At the crux of this case is the claim that UTSW interfered with Nassar's employment opportunities by retaliating against him for complaining about the supervisor's conduct. His attorney is Brian Loughton.
I think it would gut the teeth out of Title VII for discrimination claims if employees don't feel like they can come forward and have the protection that the Title VII provides to complaining witnesses.
A jury had awarded Nassar $3.5 million at trial, and although the award was later reduced, the New Orleans-based Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the employee's victory. But at the Supreme Court, the justices seemed deeply divided as to the proper standard of proof that should apply. Title VII permits employees to win a discrimination claim if the employer had both legitimate and illegal motives for the adverse action, also known as the mixed motive standard. But the statute is silent as to the standard to apply in retaliation cases. Nonetheless, referring to the standard of proof employees need to show, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg told the lawyer for UTSW, "It's pretty odd that Congress would have set up an entirely different standard for retaliation than it did for discrimination claims." Justices Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Stephen Breyer agreed, as all appeared skeptical of the employer's argument that Title VII's retaliation ban requires employees to show that the employer acted with a single motive of illegal bias. For instance, Justice Kagan pointedly asked this question of the employer's attorney.
You know, we've had a lot of discrimination statutes since 1964. We've had a lot of different standards applying to those discrimination statutes since 1964. And you're coming in here and asking for the first time in all those many decades that we should divorce the retaliation claim from the substantive discrimination claim and make them follow two different standards. Is that correct?
The employer argues, though, that Title VII's silence on this issue is telling. Justice Antonin Scalia clearly agreed, saying the statute says what it says, and that the statute clearly separates out retaliation from race discrimination.
I don't have to psychoanalyze Congress and say, did they really mean it? Blah, blah, blah. It's there in the statute. They didn't take it out. The statute still makes a clear distinction between the two.
Along similar lines, Justice Samuel Alito told the employee's attorney, Brian Loughton, there might be a very good reason why Congress would want a different causation standard for substantive discrimination and retaliation. A recent Supreme Court precedent could play a role in the outcome. Just a few years ago, the court ruled 5-4 in a similar case involving the Age Discrimination in Employment Act that employees must prove the employer acted with a single illegal motive, rather than simply a mixed motive, so that it would not have occurred but for the employer's illegal act. That ruling in Gross versus FBL Financial Services makes it more difficult for employees trying to prove an age discrimination case under the ADEA. Not surprisingly, employer groups maintain that the reasoning the Supreme Court majority applied in Gross should be employed in the current Title VII retaliation dispute. Ray Vann is general counsel of the Equal Employment Advisory Council in Washington, D.C., a group that represents large employers. Vann filed an amicus brief in support of the employer, UTSW. Asked if the Gross ruling will play a role in how the Supreme Court decides the present case, Vann responded,
I think it has to. I think when the court construes in 2008 that because of means that you have to demonstrate but-for causation, you have to construe that because of language in the same way across all of the federal non-discrimination statutes. That's the only way that it makes sense.
Another issue that came up during the oral arguments was the concern expressed by Justices Scalia, Alito, and Anthony Kennedy that a ruling for the employee could make it harder for employers to dismiss frivolous claims. For instance, Justice Kennedy asked at one point, shouldn't we be very careful about people claiming discrimination as a defense, knowing they're about to be fired? But arguing for the Obama administration, which is siding with the employee in the case, Assistant Solicitor General Melissa Arbus Sherry addressed Justice Kennedy's question head on.
You can't just scream discrimination when you're, you know, when the writing's on the wall and you know you're going to get fired. The courts of appeals have uniformly, in opposition cases, required there to be a reasonable, good faith belief that the discrimination actually occurred. So if we're talking about truly frivolous claims, I know I'm going to get fired, you know, I might as well say my boss is sexually harassing me, that's not going to happen. Those cases are going to be weeded out.
One way or the other, it appears that the case of UTSW versus Nassar is headed for a 5-4 decision, with a ruling expected by the end of the court's term in late June. Employers are looking for clarity, with the nation's appellate courts having split over the appropriate standard to apply. Whatever the ultimate outcome, the impact could extend beyond Title VII to have implications for other employment laws, including the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Family and Medical Leave Act, by influencing how lower courts may interpret the motive requirements in future cases. So, while the world will soon be fixated on the pending rulings in the two gay marriage cases, expected around June 27th, HR and employment law professionals would do well not to lose sight of this mixed motive retaliation dispute, as it could play a big role in affecting the standard of proof needed in future employment litigation. That's all the time we have, but make sure you check out other recent Expert HR podcasts, including programs featuring the Affordable Care Act and the many changes facing California employers in 2013. For Expert HR, I'm David Weisenfeld. Thanks for listening.
The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR and our subscription offering, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847.